Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. And please open your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. So, as you can see here, we have the elements for communion today. I'm very excited. Are you excited to take the bread and the blood? It's been so long, and it's so special for so many reasons. And as you can see, we have the elements, and we preached the sermon 2 weeks ago, talking about the elements because we were studying the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples. And he was explaining to them the meaning, the new meaning of the bread and the cup. And our sermon for today has a very direct connection to that meal that Jesus had. As you can see, we begin at verse 31, and it goes to verse 34. And then we jump 20 verses to verse 54. And the reason is that because the first part on verse 31 through 34 is a conversation that happened during that last meal between Jesus and Peter, also known as Simon. And then from verse 54, we see what happened after that meal when Jesus was arrested and Peter was watching what happened during Jesus' trial. So that's the reason why it seems like there's two scriptures, but it's all connected as part of one story. So we're going to read, and the first part is a conversation between Jesus and Peter, also known as Simon, and it starts at verse 31 and goes to 34. And then from verse 54, the story picks up from a different point where Jesus has already been arrested and Peter is watching as Jesus is under trial. So I will read, and then please join me from verse verse 54. Yeah, so I'll just go ahead here. So, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times that you know me. So now Jesus has been arrested. It's early morning, and he's in the house of the high priest. And let's read together that story. Verse 54. Then, seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, This man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, You also are one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, Man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. The very word of God. Amen. So, last week, the sermon was about the betrayal of Jesus by the disciple Judas. Judas had sold Jesus to the government, basically, for 30 pieces of silver. And in the story of Jesus' arrest and betrayal, we see how Jesus deals with evil. The evil of betrayal, the evil of violence in his arrest, and the evil of suffering. But here, in this story of the denial of Jesus by Peter, we see how Jesus deals with failure, the failure of his disciples. So the story of Judas's betrayal shows us how Jesus deals with evil. The story of Peter's denial shows us how Jesus deals with failure, the failure of even his closest friends. I've shared this story before, but I have a Bible seminar that I teach to Kokoninense, 10th graders. And one of the things we do in our class is I give them a piece of paper, and I say, if you could ask God any question, what would you ask him? We're studying the Bible. The Bible is supposed to be the word of God. And you can find any answer in that word. So if you could ask any question, what would you ask him? And I'll never forget, this was many years ago, one student wrote, Kami-sama, naze ningen ga shippai shimasu ka? God, why do humans fail? And we spent time in that seminar trying to answer that question. Maybe you ask the same question in a different way. God, again? Why do I have to make this mistake? Why do I have to face this problem? Why do I always seem to fail? And how do I deal with it? God, how do you deal with my failure? I'm going to just tell you the end right here at the beginning. The way Jesus deals with failure is the same way he deals with evil. Last week we saw that Jesus deals ultimately with evil through his death, through the cross, through his blood. This week we're going to see that Jesus deals with failure through his death, through the cross, through his blood. So let's go ahead and look into it. Oops, wrong way. This way. Okay, still figuring this out. Okay. I want to tell you three things now. The first is how to fail. And I'm sure you already know how to do that, but I just want to tell you from my expert experience. And then how Jesus deals with our failure. So how do we fail? Well, the first thing we do when we fail is we have the wrong image of ourselves. we think of ourselves too highly, right? So here's Simon, also known as Peter. And Peter is listening to Jesus talk about in the dinner time at the Passover meal, some of you is going to, or one of you is going to betray me, and then I'm going to go and suffer the crucifixion. And everybody's thinking, eh? Who is it? Is it me? Is it you? But Peter, he doesn't ask that. Peter is not saying, is it me? Is it him? Peter's saying, it's not me. It's not me. In fact, not only will I not betray you, Jesus, I will never leave you. I will always be faithful. I will go to prison. I will even die for you. Now, that's great. He's confident. He's faithful. He's a promise maker. We don't know if he's a promise keeper, but he's confident of his ability to follow Jesus even to death. That's a big, big part of his failure, is that he did not understand what really is inside his heart. And when I think about the biggest failures that I've had, not mistakes, failures. Okay, not shippai, but, or not the otototo, but like, suge, 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 like, ah, right? I think back and I realize, my goodness, I thought I was this way, but this situation revealed to me that I was really this way. You know, this morning, I was sitting down in my living room, and I just wanted to sit down Sunday morning, nice and slow. I was going to turn on the YouTube for the Mitaki Nihongo Rehai and just start watching. I sit down on my sofa and I look at the floor and there's a little bit of dust on the floor. Yeah? I thought, okay, all right, fine. I'll get up. You know, I'll get the broom and I'll get the, how do you say chiritori? Chiritori.
What's dustpan.
Dustpan, thank you. I'm losing my English here. Been in Japan too long. So I get the broom and the dustpan, and I start sweeping the dust on my living room floor, and then I look 1 meter away, right? You know what happens. I say, oh, there's some more, you know, crumbs from lunch or dinner or whatever, break last night. And then I look under the table, and it's a terrible mess under the table. I'm pulling out chairs, and basically I'm moving sofas, and I'm like going behind the TV, and, you know, I wanted to just get this one problem dealt with. But the more I go, the further down I get, and I understand, oh, this is a big problem. Yeah? God does that to us. We have this situation, and it seems like a small problem, and we try to fix it. And what happens? It gets worse. Okay, I'll fix it some more. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then we understand, oh, wait, 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 wait. The problem is not out here. The problem is. And it's not this small little problem. It's bad. It's very bad. How do you fail? You have an unrealistic or false view of who you are. You look in the mirror and you think, you see someone so wonderful, so great, so strong, so spiritual, so faithful. And then God gives you a situation that shows you, you really think that's who you are? Let me show you who you really are. So you try to fix it. That's one way that we fail. Another way that we fail is we refuse to acknowledge our weakness. We refuse to accept our inability to handle. And so, like I said, we try to fix it ourselves. And so you have a situation, and there's something goes wrong, and you think, well, all right, I have to go and do something about it. And then you make it worse, and you thought, oh man, okay, all right, next time I'm going to make it better. And it gets worse and worse, and you think you're going to turn the corner and everything will be better, and what happens? You turn the wrong way. I remember I was in my 20s, and I'm driving somewhere, and I'm running late for a meeting in ministry. I was going to help lead some music. And I'm trying to get there. This is like a nightmare. And I turn the wrong way, and I get lost. And so, okay, I'm going to turn the other way, and I get more lost. And then the clock is ticking, and I'm getting terrible. And then I turn another way. I'm going the wrong way. It's a one-way street, and I get so frustrated. I smash the ceiling of my car, boom, boom, boom. It's a cheap car, very cheap car. And so there's a dent in my ceiling, and then I punch my windshield, right? And I just, and it broke my windshield. Yeah, that's how cheap my car was, okay? Just one punch from this voyage, you know? And then, oh, that was it. It was over. It just got worse and worse. And here I am, spiritual leader, music worship guy, Christian, you know, servant of Christ. I can't even drive. You know? Yeah, my wife, oh, I didn't tell her I was going to tell this story, but my wife told me the most crushing criticism just a few months ago. Can't believe I'm telling you. Well, hey, we're all friends here, right? We're all friends. Okay, I'm just going to tell you. So we're driving, and we're having an argument, and we're going back and forth, and she says, you're a bad driver. And, oh, my goodness. Oh. Now, there's two things that made me so angry about that. The first thing is, well, look who's talking, okay? I mean, hey, no. But then the second thing about it that really hurt me was, it was true. Now, listen, I've been driving like more than half my life since I was 17 years old, okay? And now that I think about it, I've been pulled over more times than I'm happy to admit, okay? I've crashed a motorcycle. Yeah, almost killed myself. I have more scratches and dings in the car. Every single car I've had. And I don't know if I've told you, I failed my driving test 17 times. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. Why are you clapping? What is going on here? Okay. Yeah, you're just happy that you're not me. That's what you're doing, right? I failed my driving test. That was in Japan. So every time I'm making the excuse, oh, Japan is just too strict. Oh, they're just trying to take my money. Oh, the rules here are terrible. Oh, the streets are too narrow in Japan. Blah, blah, blah. The problem is out there. It's not me. Finally, it took my wife to tell me, you're a bad driver. How do you fail? You don't admit what you're terrible at. You don't acknowledge your weakness, your inability. Peter. You know, Jesus, before this, in the other chapters of Luke, before this, Jesus was telling his disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested. They're going to kill me on the cross. I'm going to Jerusalem. The chief priests will take me, and they will put me on trial. They're going to crucify me. What does Peter say? Do you know? He says, Jesus, come here. And he says, Peter took Jesus aside, and he said, Jesus, don't talk like that. No, you're bringing the kingdom of God. You're the Messiah. You don't get arrested. You don't die. Right? Jesus says what? Yeah, you are submitting to an evil power. You have no idea. That's satanic what you're talking about, right? Peter has, this is happening again and again, and Peter still doesn't realize it. Still doesn't realize it. That's how you fail. All right, that's enough of failure. I'm getting tired of that. Let's see how Jesus deals with it, okay? So Jesus has that dinner talk with him, and then it happens where he's arrested, and three times Peter denies Jesus, and it's in the courtyard. Now, there are two characters that we're talking about last week and this week, two of them, Judas and Peter. Judas betrays Jesus, and his story ends terribly. Peter denies Jesus, but we know that Peter became the great leader, the high leader of the church, the beginning of the first Christian church. What is the difference between Judas and Peter? Why is it that Judas could never recover, but Peter somehow was able to recover from the failure? What's the difference? The difference is actually from the end and from the beginning, but you look at the verse in verse 62. It says, "And he went outside and wept bitterly." Bitter tears. Bitter tears. What was it that brought about those tears that Peter wept bitterly? And I like the Nihongo version. The Nihongo is hageshiku naita, violent tears, right? Why did Peter weep so bitterly? It says, just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And then verse 61, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord spoke to him. Here's what you need in order to overcome failure. You make a big mistake. You fall terribly. The evil in your heart is finally revealed from all the situation that you're experiencing. What do you need? It says, Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Now, maybe you think that word is, before the rooster crows today, you will disown me, right? Now, yeah, that's what it says. That's not all it says. Let's go back to that word. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not okay? Simon, you're going to fail me three times. You're going to fail. But here's the good news. Here's the gospel. Here's my word. I have prayed for you that you may not fail. And in fact, here's what's going to happen. You're going to fall. You're going to go away. And then here's what it says. When you have come back, strengthen your brothers. It's basically, here's the Habakkuk translation. Peter, when you fail, and then you're going to come back, you're going to be able to lead your church. You're going to lead my church, excuse me. You're going to lead my people. And the reason is this. Because I've prayed for you, you're going to be able to repent. So let me just, I just need to do something very, very importantly, very quickly. In verse 31, Satan has asked for you all. Satan wants all of his disciples. And so what happens when Jesus is arrested? All of his disciples leave. They abandon Jesus. Right? And then Jesus says, but I've prayed for you, Peter. So Satan has asked to sift all of you, all 12 of you. But I have prayed for you, Simon, one of you. The plural versus the singular. Okay? Now, it says, I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. I'm praying that for you, Peter, that you're going to be able to come back. Now, you'll deny me three times, complete failure, but how do you come back? You come back through the tears. So, I want to show you a kind of chemistry. Okay, I'm not a scientist. I know we have one at least world-class scientist, but let me show you just some spiritual chemistry. Okay, three things that you mix together. When you mix together failure, okay, from all of the situations that's happening to you, and then you get that together with repentance, the tears of repentance, and then finally, you mix that with a third thing, which is relying on the grace of God. You mix all those three together, and you get gold, spiritual, eternal, everlasting, unfailing gold. A character that has more compassion, more self-knowledge, more wisdom, more patience, more endurance, more understanding. Gold! Why? Because the failure has revealed your inability to take care of yourself, to save yourself. And the failure brings you to the repenting tears. Tears. Now, tears just themselves don't mean that you're repentant. Okay? It's not like, oh, I have this emotional experience, now I'm back. So we don't overemphasize the emotional experience, but we also understand there is an emotional element. There is a psychological, spiritual element, physiological part of you that responds to failure, sin, evil. And so when you look at your failure, your sin, your inability to save yourself, that should bring you to some kind of emotional expression. And you mix that repentant heart with something that says, okay, I understand. Jesus, apart from you, I can do nothing. Jesus, I have to abide in you. Jesus, I have to rely completely on you. Jesus, I must surrender completely to you. Once you do that, here's what happens. The Bible says, you have died to yourself. You have experienced spiritual death. But it's the good kind of death, because it's the death of repentance. And the old death is now dead. Excuse me, the old you is now gone, and there is now a new creation. If any man is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. You have died. Peter died. He wept bitter tears. And that look from Jesus Christ, you know, he's talking, I don't know him. And then Jesus looks at him. That look was a look of love. I just understood when I was reading this. I actually read this week in Matthew, because I'm reading through Matthew in my Bible reading this week. And I'm listening to it as I read, and it's amazing. Jesus is being questioned by chief priests. They have false witnesses, and there's people accusing him, and then people are beating him. Who hit you? You know, all these crazy. It's very stressful. Jesus has been beaten. He's tied up. He's, you know, all these questions coming at him. It's a very intense situation. Well, where was his mind the whole time? Jesus said nothing. He's quiet. You have all these accusations. What's your answer? Nothing. He's waiting. Where is his mind? You know where his mind is? His mind is with Peter. That's where he was. In all this chaos, all this craziness, Jesus is thinking about the one he loves. And once that rooster crows the third time, he looks at him, and I know. It was not like, I told you so, Peter. It wasn't that. It was, no, it wasn't. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus says, Peter, I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you. And I'm saving you right as I look at you. Do you see Jesus looking at you in your failure? You're sitting there alone in your room. You're staring at the mirror. Who are you? You're a piece of junk. You're nobody. You're nothing. No. Jesus looks at you and says, I have loved you. I have prayed for you. I have died for you. That's what Jesus did. That is how you overcome failure. You need a love that will never fail you. Love that will go right into hell just for you. Why? Because you make a mistake, you fall into the sin, you go here once more, you tell that lie again, or you do something silly, and you think, oh man, God could never hold me. No. Jesus went through hell. You think just a little thing, little stumble by you is going to make you fall from his hand? His faith, he is faithful. Great is his faithfulness. So that's what you need. And that's what you need to trust in. Somebody sent me an email this week. And I laugh every time I get an email like this over the years. They'll say, Pastor Chris, do you know how terrible I am? This is what they said. They said, I'm probably the worst person you've ever preached to. They think they're so bad. They're so evil. They can't forgive themselves. So I type the same answer I give to everybody who tells me the same thing. I say, I have good news for you. You're worse than you think you are. You're much worse. But also, at the same time, you are more loved than you could ever imagine. God sees you right down to the bottom, but he loves you right up to the heavens. There is no sin, there is no failure, there is no evil that God cannot forgive and God cannot cleanse. Look, you think you're terrible, and you may be right, but if there is anyone who has the power to forgive, of course it's not you. It must be God. And if God says, I have loved you enough to die for you, if that's not good enough for you, you're lost. You're lost. But if that's good enough for you, that's good enough for God. We'll close with this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Okay. How great is the love the Father has poured out, has lavished on us. How great is that love? That we could be called the children of God. And that is what you are. 1 John 3, 1. He loves you so much, you are a child of God. How are you a child of God? Through the cross of Jesus Christ, the one Son of God. So, if you believe that, if you live that, if that is the heart of your being, then let's celebrate together at the communion. Amen? Yeah, amen. Oh, it's going to be good. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.